Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, February 13, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. You can also support us by purchasing the books, Government by Consent and Government Access in the Common Law. You can find them on the right-hand side of our website also. Also, please join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. You can find that on our right-hand side of the website or on our front page. Okay, before we get started, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. We're in the book of Galatians. Last week we read chapter 2. This week we'll be reading chapter 3, read by Alexander Scorby. Galatians chapter 3.
Chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, And to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Okay, do we have any questions tonight, Terry? You're muted if you're talking.
Yes, I was muted. I just couldn't get the cursor to get on it. Okay, there's several long questions. I was surprised. Some of them came in between. So, John, this is the first one from Charles. John, what do you think of this idea? It is time for us to get active by teaching the people how to use the Constitution as a shield to protect them from the government. We go to local municipal courts and speak to people before they go in. We can represent them in court to get their tickets dismissed by lack of jurisdiction. I know the judge is going to ask if we have a license to practice law. My answer would be, you don't need a license for justice. Justice is always there. That's like needing a license for gravity. Now, we, the administrators, can represent the ticket holder in traffic court, or we can just teach the people what a jurisdiction of law and equity are. That's the idea.
Okay, yeah, you know, I like the idea of teaching the people. People need to represent themselves, if you want to call it that. You know, you come in either pro se or in pro per. I prefer using in pro per, which is in your own person, in opposed to, coming in pro se, self-representation, because they play words with that representation thing. And so I kind of lean towards that. People need to learn the law. If you don't know the law, then you don't know and understand your heritage. Your heritage is in the law. And your inheritance is liberty. Which, how can you know liberty if you don't know the law? How can you know how much liberty you have? People don't realize how much liberty they have. You know, it is clear through common law, through the Bible, through our founding fathers, that we are the makers of the law. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for the United States of America. We're above the Constitution. They are below the Constitution. We are beyond legislative control. No man is to legislate our behavior. We never gave them power or authority to legislate our behavior, nor can we if we're going to be a free people. We are only living under law, which is God's law, not man's law. And that's a huge difference, and people don't realize that. People don't realize that our heritage is the courts themselves. Those courts are to be run by the people, for the people. The officers in that court are to adhere to the people. There is no judge in a court of law. There's a magistrate, and he just executes the decision of the people. He maintains control of the court by keeping it going like a traffic cop. It's not to interfere with the movements of the court. Of course, there are certain things that, there is a certain amount of control, which we probably will cover that in our course that we're bringing up. But basically, it's the people. The people decide whether to indict or not to indict an individual. The people decide through the jury on whether the person is innocent or guilty. The people decide what the law is. If they don't like any legislative law, they just nullify it. Some people are in court and under legislative law only because maybe they work in some commercial activity that is controlled by legislation that we empowered Congress in order to make that legislation. That's part of their job, to control commercial activity, not to prevent it, not to slow it down, but just to make sure that it's lawful. And, you know, also people may be working for a government agency, and they may be found that they're being tried for something that they might be guilty of. They, too, are under legislative law. But the people who are not involved with commercial activity, the people who are not part of the government, not working for an agency, a government agency, were not under legislative law, only the law itself. And that law is common law. So that's what we need to do. I would very much suggest not for anyone to go into front of courts and try to do anything. First of all, you're going to get yourself in trouble. To some degree, they may even arrest you. I know somebody who was in front of a court doing certain things, and he got abused by federal agents and was arrested and detained, and problems erupted. I've heard of other stories, too. So I wouldn't do anything like that. Besides that, you know, if we were to try to encourage that, there'll always be, you know, the sociopath who connect with us and decide that they're going to make some money out of this, and their motivation will be money, and so on. And people aren't trained for that either. Now, I can tell you that the course we are running, which I'm going to talk a little bit about that after the questions, the course we are running, which is Court Access and the Common Law, you know, the book I had written, but the course I'm running, that will teach anyone to be able to represent themselves or come in pro per, again, which is what I would prefer. But in, you know, they come into the court to take care of their own business. Everybody should be able to do that. Why should we give all this money to lawyers, bar attorneys particularly, and usually lose the case on anything that's of any real value? Because the court system at this point, they just maintain the status quo. And sometimes you might need assistance of counsel, and that doesn't necessarily have to be an attorney, or a bar, or a lawyer, or anyone. I mean, it would be wise, of course, to get someone who knows, understands the process and the procedure, maybe can articulate better than you. But you need to understand it, even though you feel you can't articulate it. You need to understand it, even though you don't feel you're ready yet. And you need to be writing the papers, not a lawyer. Why would you give that power and authority to someone else? You know, people have this thing, they get in trouble or have a problem, they go get themselves a lawyer. If they have a spiritual problem and so on, they maybe go get themselves a priest or a pastor or someone, you know, in religion. But we have a direct contact to God through the Son. We have direct contact and understanding of our own heritage and our liberty and our understanding of the law through knowledge, if that's what we're going to do. And we must, and this is one of the things we're going to be pushing very heavily on. We've been pursuing writing of textbooks for our children. There are some textbooks out there that are very good that will incorporate, put a plan together for people to appreciate and consider in their school districts. And we need to control these school boards. Very easy to control these school boards. People just don't know how to do it. It's very easy to control our government. People just don't know how to do it. There's power and authority in numbers. We have to come with numbers, and that's where the Committee of Safety comes in. And we're going to write a plan on how people might go about dealing with the school board, how to get a good curriculum into the schools within your neighborhoods, and what a good curriculum might be with great books. And, of course, on the bottom, at the end of the day, it's the people that have to decide within their own school districts on what it is they want their children to learn, what they want to lift up as the most importance, and what kind of a curricula, where that curricula is birthed from, what you want to use in the schools. But we're going to write a plan on how the people might approach that, how to be able to get a list of all the people within particular school districts, and sending out a letter to the people, especially going for the parents particularly, explaining to them that with the Committee of Safety, we're going to come in, we're going to do something with the schools to bring it back up. You bring them to a meeting to discuss curriculum and ideas and everything, and then you go visit the school board in numbers, in power, in authority. And it's very clear. You know, we wrote a paper for the United States Supreme Court. We filed it last week, and so they've had it since last Monday. And that's when they were served. As a matter of fact, I think some of them were actually served on Friday. But they received it on Monday. And we let them know with no uncertain terms, we're not asking them to do anything. We're telling them. We're the power, we're the authority, we're the lawmakers. They work for us. We don't work for them. And we're done with their, you know, abuse of our Constitution, the abuse against the people. We're done with that. Well, that's what we have to do with our school districts. We got to go in there with power and authority in one accord. If they shut one person down, that's okay. The next person comes up and they're going to continue. We need to understand what the problem is, and we have to understand the solution to that problem. And we need to get our children a proper education. And it is extremely, very simple to remove all or any or all of those school board individuals, those members. We can remove them all through a quo warranto. That might be an order, but probably a notice and demand. I have to think about how we'd approach that. I know we did recently approach with a board somewhere, and we gave some information and so on. But in any event, that's what we need to do as a people. But you can't do any of that. You can't control your government. You can't control your school. And look at the people can't control their school boards. They're getting arrested. I mean, is that ridiculous or what? I mean, that's where we're at. You can't control your government unless you have the knowledge. Knowledge is power. And without that knowledge, you're not going anywhere. But anyway, I know I'm getting a little bit off base, but the bottom line is no, we don't want to go to in front of any kind of courthouse. We don't want to hand things out there. Look, at the people in the neighborhood, that's up to the Committee of Safety to reach out to the people in their communities, in every one of their you know, school districts throughout their county, working together, and we will lay a plan out on how they go about doing that. We're laying a lot of plans out for a lot of different things, a lot of different strategies, and it all requires education, understanding. If you don't know the Constitution, how do you know they're not obeying it? Clearly, people have no clue on what's going on. 95%, 99%, I don't know, it's super high, of whatever Congress does is unlawful. We never gave them authority. People don't know. I hear people calling us a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. The people don't know. They don't understand the difference between the two. You know, there are so many problems, and people just don't have the answers or the solutions. They get frustrated. They think that their only power is to vote, which that doesn't even count these days because they cheat at that too, which we will fix. It's in the process of being repaired. We can trust that plan that's taking place now to take care of that problem. And as Trump said, he was elected not to take the power from the people, but to give it back to the people where it belongs. But how can you have power if you don't know how to wield it, if you don't understand the problem? The administrations in power have gone far beyond their lawful authority that we've given them. The court system has totally closed down the Constitution. People have no clue how seriously bad it is in the courts. We do not have a constitution in the courts. It's gone, done, finished. It's not there no more. That was the purpose of our paper that we recently filed. And for those who don't know it, we've been in the courts since, I think it was 2015 when we started filing papers, 2016 when we really were focusing in on the specifics. But we file in the courts, and we filed for how many years is that? Let's say 16, so 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 7 years. 7 years of disobedience, 7 years of explaining, telling, and asking these people to obey the Constitution. Hundreds of cases we brought in to show that they, and they act the same in one accord, whether it's in California or New York or Texas or Montana. It doesn't matter where it's at. They're all doing the same thing. That's conspiracy. The Bar Association has totally destroyed our court system. It's been wasted. It's gone. It's not there no more. You get no justice. It's not there. But we've been working on this for 7 years, actually longer than that, because we've been investigating, researching, studying, building a website of great knowledge for quite some time now, or what, 12, 15 years, 12 years or something like that. Actually, maybe 15 or 14, because before we even got into the courts, we were doing with the political thing, and we gained a lot of knowledge on that, and we got a plan for that, how to take the political process back and how to take the judicial process back. For therein is the power structures, The two power structures to control our government is found in the political process, which is run by party bosses, empowered by the Bar Association through statutes and laws, and held up by the judges. And we've lost that. We need to get it back. The second power structure, as I mentioned, was in the judicial process. And again, that's been destroyed by the Bar Association. They're the minions of the New World Order. They got their hands in everything, including your religion. They control it all. People have no clue. They control Hollywood. They control our TV. They control everything. Everything, your money, all of it controlled by, ultimately, the Bar Associations and the minions of the New World Order. Of course, it's the New World Order. It's the deep state, the New World Order, the people behind it. People have no idea how bad it is. I mean, those who are waking up or have been woken for a while, they're learning or they're knowing. And I don't think any of us know how real all of it, because there's a whole lot we just don't even understand yet. And yet we think that those of us who really see the total destructions of our society, we as a people, even with that, we don't have the big picture. We're going to find out soon that's going to happen. So if you want to fix the problem, you have to get knowledge. There's no other way. And that is the main reason why we went through putting together this live course, which we'll be talking about in a short while. And this, I promise you, will empower you like you've never realized before. We will share things that the people just don't know about. They're not aware of. You know, maybe people are getting little pieces here or there. They definitely get little pieces here and there from National Liberty Alliance, but I'm not aware of them getting anything from any place else, nowhere else. You know, we put out the challenge, and we put out the challenge for many, many years now. You know, if there's a group out there that's doing that as a way to take this government back, if there's a better way to do it, if you can correct us, and we stand with no opposition. But the people have to wake up. The people have to do it. Once they get the knowledge, they then have a duty, and then they have to do what needs to be done. And they have to exercise that knowledge in order to save their nation, to save their republic, to bring us back, to take back our courts, to take back our schools, take back our government, to take it all back. All right, next question.
Okay, Jeff wrote, the quantum financial system is running parallel behind the scenes to our nefarious deep state global banking system. Question, with true precious metal-backed currency and ISO 20022 and Basel IV, January 1st, 2023, regulations in place, do you know which U.S. states have applied or are already admitted to the BRICS nation's precious metal asset-backed system? Is Virginia a BRICS state?
They'll all be that at some point in time. They're all going to go. I'm not sure what a BRIC state is. Is it a BRIC state, is he or she saying?
BRICS is Brazil, Russia, Iran, China.
Okay, we are all going back to gold and silver. It's very simple. The Constitution requires that our money be gold and silver, nothing else. Now, if they use a paper system and it's backed by gold, that I guess we can live with that, or silver. A lot of people seem to think we need that because paper, you know, coins are too much to carry, but that's not necessarily true. You don't need much more than a few coins in your pocket and do a lot of things with. People don't realize, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, a slice of pizza was 15 cents. You know, you'd get I remember my parents giving us kids, we got, I think it was 75 or 80 cents every Saturday morning. We each got that, and we went up to the matinee, the plazas, these beautiful places that had movie houses in all throughout New York City, Bronx, Brooklyn, all throughout, beautiful places. You go in there, just beautiful. And you'd spend a day in there. You know, we'd get there at 10 o'clock in the morning. You'd get all these cartoons. You'd get two or three features. You wouldn't get out of there till 3 o'clock. You got your popcorn. You got your soda. You got some candy. And you still came out with a few pennies in your pocket. Money was worth, and at that time, money at that point was also already being destroyed. You know, gold and silver was on the rise, you know, as far as, you know, being depressed as far as it's valued. And eventually, as we know, in 65, I believe it was the last time silver was in our coins. They've totally destroyed our system. You know, so what you used to buy with a few pennies was just unbelievable. So, but we have to go back to gold and silver because that's what we, the people, ordained and established for them to obey. That's the law. And so every state will go back to that. And the whole thing is set by the federal government. So once we take the federal government back, all states comply, and that's that. And I think a lot of the ones that would resist, that you would think would resist, those individuals are not going to be anymore. They're going to be either in jail or at the end of a rope, and that'll be it, because the penalty of treason is very, very harsh. And so whatever, however that turns out, that'll turn out. Our states will be returned back. Again, Trump will... And that's not just Trump. He can't do it by himself. He's working with military. And he will bring things back, and he will set it back for the people to have. The question is, can you take it? Can you receive it? Can you exercise the duty that you have to keep it? And you can't do that without knowledge. And you know what? Many hands make light work. So you don't need a lot of people. You don't need to spend a lot of time. You know, you get 100 people working in the county, I mean, you know, then you're really going to lighten that load. And I'll tell you what, with the power and the authority people will have, others will be drawn to it. And that will build up, and you'll get hundreds of people. But the bottom line is your liberty worth spending maybe four hours a month, okay, and maybe giving a few dollars into the kitty there? Is your liberty worth that? Because that's all it takes. You have a meeting once a month. You gain more knowledge. You find out the problems. You create all these subcommittees. Each one of these subcommittees go out throughout that month to execute the things that they plan to try to execute. You know, the educational committee be working on education. Okay, the judicial committee be working on the judiciary, and so on and so forth. Many, many committees. You're 2 hours, let's say, on a meeting, and maybe 2 hours of work throughout the month, 4 hours, and maybe you throw a buck in the can every time you have a meeting. Is your liberty worth that? Is our republic worth that? Is liberty for our children, our posterity, worth that? That's the question. And everybody needs to answer that question. And shame on us, and woe is us, if we don't step up to do what needs to be done, now that we know that it needs to be done, and that we can do it. So when the government is returned to the people need to receive it. That is the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, to train the people. You know, we facilitate a place of education, a place of communications, and a place of organizing. And we'll always be there as an advisor, never as a dictator. The moment NLA decides to start dictating to the grassroots on each one of these county levels, it's time for you to break away from NLA then. We're doing everything we can to prevent that happening, now and in the future. But we'll always be there for that purpose, is to give the education, provide the necessary things that people need, give them the tools, give them the ways that they can do it. But then the people in the county, they have to figure out, they can even change our plans. I mean, it's fine. It's you're free and individual, free and independent. People need to do what people need to do, and they need to do it their way. Each county has unique problems, a little different than others. But many, many things and many, many problems, we all share the same problem, and we get together and we can find the same solution, and we can work together county to county, state to state, do what has to be done, and take back our nation. Our founding fathers did not leave us with nothing. Our founding fathers gave us all the tools, everything necessary for us to have government by consent. That is the foundation of our law. Lays down on government by the consent of the people, and everything has been given to us for us to exercise that and take control. The problem is that they put us to sleep, and they robbed us of our education. They've taken it out of our schools. They're demoralizing our children. They're creating good comrades in our schools. You know, our children are becoming, you know, I don't even know what they're becoming. There's all kinds of isms that you can go for this one or that, but it's a collectivism, ultimately. It's a collection of all of it, whatever works here and works there, in order for them to enslave the people, to destroy our children, to destroy, to prevent us from having the knowledge. You know, the idea going back into the days of slavery was keep the slaves ignorant, because as long as they're ignorant, they can never get their liberty, they can never get their freedom. Keep them ignorant, okay? And that's what they've done to us. They've kept us ignorant. And as long as we remain ignorant, we're never going to get our power back. We're never going to get our nation back. We're not going to have our republic. And if Liberty's light totally goes out, it will be lost forever. It was a miracle that it should even have arisen. It's only by God's will and mercy that it has. To think about the people who created this nation, who put this thing together, the uniqueness of all those individuals with specialties throughout them to do what had to be done, to come to a consensus of knowledge and understanding, to dig out the truth and put it together like no other nation ever has for we the people. It's a miracle that came together. George Washington, if he wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. Thomas Jefferson, if he wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. James Madison, if he wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. Benjamin Franklin, if he wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. And with the list goes on and on. Any break in the link, any break in that link, this nation would not have been. It's amazing. And they were there and were able to fulfill all those things. And I see that as God's will. But go ahead.
Let's stick to the Constitution on this question about the question was, which states are joining the BRICS? I didn't know that a state could decide to join the BRICS, and if that's a good thing or a bad thing. If a state can become a BRIC state, that means they're treating...
I'm not sure I know what a BRIC state is. I mean,
BRICS is that basket of currencies that Brazil...
Oh, no, we're not... No, that can't, we can't have.
It's a gold-backed currency, but it's happening because there's a quantum financial system. There's BRICS nations. Look at the Soviet Union is part of it. We got to get on the stick because we're gonna also be gold-backed.
Well, but they'll have their own way of doing it, and that'd be fine because then we can interchange our monies because there's going to be a problem.
As long as it's gold-backed, it doesn't matter if it's rubles or what. It's all.
Well, each country will have their own way of dealing with it as long as it's gold-backed is your key point, and that's exactly it.
The question is, which states have become BRIC states? I don't know if that's possible. And if they're going to let each state do it, that means they're treating each state like a country.
Well,
that might not be a bad idea. Look at it. If Texas wants to go to a gold-backed, first of all, the reason I broke in is, doesn't the Constitution say what our money should be? Doesn't it say it's supposed to be minted in gold and silver?
Well, of course, it says that the power of Congress under Article... Article 8 of the Constitution, and let me see which one this is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is number 5. It says to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures. And there's another place where it says that only gold and silver is to be money. So the thing is, here's the thing. The dollar must be a U.S. dollar. Matter of fact, it should look just like the dollars we had before they destroyed it. Okay, it's coins. Silver coins, gold coins. And we can live with the paper as long as it's backed by coin, or gold and silver, I would presume. But that's a debatable thing. I personally don't see a problem with that. But the bottom line is this. That's going to be our money and our exchange to be able to purchase anything. Now, if all these other countries do the same thing, they can have their rubles, for instance, in Russia, and they got gold back, well, that's just the exchange figure you have to do, and we can now do great business with them. If they're working off monopoly money, well, it's going to be difficult to do business with them. They're going to have to dig up some silver to deal, or gold to deal with us. Otherwise, they're going to be outside of the market. So once the United States...
It's the exact opposite.
They're all going
to gold and silver. We got paper. We got a petrol dollar, and we're not selling any petroleum. So we're broke.
That's where it is. that's where it is now, but not where it's going to be tomorrow. And the bottom line is we really are not broke. We are very, very rich, each and every one of us. It's just that they have taken our money. We need to get it back. And when we get it back, the people are going to be enriched by that. Because why? Because common law requires for every injury there must be a remedy. That's a requirement of law. Okay, that is common law. And if we've been, and we certainly have been injured. Okay, we've just in a, not even just money. There's so many different ways we've been injured. We have to be restored. Now, once we take over, look at these people that have taken over the world, control more than 90% of everything. They got everything. They got the gold. They got the silver. They got these large corporations. They run the medias. They got control over. They monopolized on everything. The pharmaceutical companies, everything you can think of. Well, all of that has to, you know, like Trump said, you know, if you rob the diamond store and you get caught, you got to give the diamonds back. He says that numerous times. And that's the point. They got to give the money back. They got to give the property back. They got to give the corporations all this stuff that they have robbed us from. They're taking control of. We're talking trillions upon trillions upon trillions. Who knows how many trillions of dollars worth of you know, the value of these corporations and properties and monies, gold and silver and everything all together collectively. You bring it all together because once they're arrested and everything is taken back from them, well, it'll all be sold off and all of the monies and fund will have to go back to restore the people they've been injured. Not just the people of the United States. This is a worldwide thing. But it doesn't matter how, at some point, when we get to the other side, once America sets the stage and things move forward, all the nations will follow because we're not going to be able to do business with anyone that doesn't have gold and silver to exchange with us. And they'll have plenty of it at that point in time. So they can run their own monies and their own weights and measures and figure out things, and then all that could be figured out through the banks as it moves from country to country, and the gold and silver flows back and forth, and so on and so forth. All of that will be settled out. So if that's, well, anyway, I guess that's the question, really, that was at the point. But there was another point.
Oh, I didn't think each state could decide for themselves.
They can't. Like, they cannot.
Right, they got to do what the federal government decides the states are going to do, right? Although the states have a certain amount of rights for certain things.
Well, remember, the federal government has to do what the people decided to do because they're governed by the Constitution, and they only got eight legislators got 18 powers, and that's it. And those powers have to be fulfilled to the utmost. And
so
one of them is to take care of our money.
If our Constitution says gold and silver,
that's it.
Then we've been unconstitutional since we've been on the fiat dollar.
And we're going back quite some time. I mean, this really, the breakdown of the destruction of the dollar really goes back into the 20s and the 30s. And really, you could bring it all the way back to the Fed, the beginning of the Fed. That's when they started to really work on this thing. It may have only been a couple of pennies back then. But by the time you got into the 30s, Congressman, goodness, I'm trying to think of that guy's name. We have a paper on him where he gave a speech on the floor talking about the Fed and the destruction that we've been bankrupt. We're bankrupt all the way back in the 30s. But the truth of the matter is the people are not really bankrupt. We are not bankrupt people. Look, the plan was to bankrupt us, and they brought us into debt trillions and trillions of dollars, okay? And they say it's the people's debt, when in fact the whole thing was a fraud. The whole thing was them ripping the people off and just making trillions of dollars off the people's back. And collecting all this money. We don't owe that debt. You know who owes that debt? The Federal Reserve owes that debt. And the Federal Reserve has nothing to do with our federal government. It's a private corporation, foreign corporation, as a matter of fact, you know, that has been incorporated in two different locations, and offshore. And so they're the ones that owe the debt, not us.
Well,
and that debt will be paid because we will take everything away from them.
The short answer to that question, when he says, is this state or that state a brick state, is, as far as we know, none of them are, because they can't do it.
No, and they may try, but it doesn't matter.
I never heard of that. I mean, I'm pretty much up on this stuff. I watch Charlie Ward. I understand what's going on. And I never heard that one state can choose a gold and silver backing or a BRICS backing.
No, they can't.
That whole BRICS thing was for international trading, the bank of it, that for countries between countries. And you see, the part that's going to bankrupt us is they're not going to accept American money because it's going valueless. So they it's very important that they get this on the stick right away, because we're going to lose all, we're going to go down in the world, because we're going to be a third world country. Nobody's going to want our money.
Well, everyone will be a third world country until we fix it. And
not if they got gold and silver before us, they won't be. They're already coming up.
Already got gold and silver. Trump seized a lot of it already when he was in office.
None of our economy is running on it, John. It's in a
hole. But it can't run on it until we get to the other side, because you have to reset the whole system in the proper way, and that can't happen until we get to the other side. And we can't get to the other side until enough of the people wake up, and that's why it's taken so long. The people have to wake up. I understand we have over 60, maybe close to 70% of the people that are realizing that there's something seriously wrong with our nation, with our country. So that's a good mark. But the point is, we got to get to a point where we prevent the revolution in the streets. We got to get to the point where when they do what they do and the military moves in, the people are going to have heart failure. They need to understand what's going on. That we've been robbed and we're being taken back our nation. People have no clue. I mean, generally speaking, a lot of people, they really don't know. Even the people that realize there's a problem, they don't know what the problem is, and they don't understand the problem, nor do they seem interested, because they've been taught to tweet, and they've been taught not to read. They've been taught to only tweet, and they're taught stupid things. They're not taught anything really important. And only those people who have had a unique experience somewhere and woke up and started to explore and dig on their own to find out what's going on, only those people's eyes are open. But there's got to be enough people. And I don't know when that'll happen, but I think it's very close. I really am kind of surprised we went into 2023 without the takedown. But on the other end of that, I see that we wasn't ready before 2023. And we're still not really totally ready, I don't think. But there are some tripwires. I know Q talked about tripwires, that certain things, no matter what, if this gets tripped, that's it, they go forward. Without that, there's certain points they got to get past to try to really educate the people and prepare the people for what they're going to become, what's going to come to be. And it is going to be biblical. That's the language being used, biblical, okay? And people, it's going to be very hard for the people that have no clue what's going on to digest what's really happening, the horror of what's going to be revealed, the destruction and the murder, and it, this is endless, okay? All of that revelation that's going to be revealed, and it's going to be huge. And it's probably going to take years to get all of this really out to the people completely, you know? But the repairs and the fix will happen quick. I mean, listen to Trump even now. He's saying, yeah, we can get it back. Don't worry about it. We can get it back to where it was, and we could do it rather quickly, okay? And we can. It can. Matter of fact, he's already set forth the economy alongside this economy, an economy of gold and silver. I don't understand how that works, but that's what I heard and understand. Everything's been in the motion. And remember, we still have coins out there, and the value of those coins will be face value, okay, once it gets to the other side. So you'll be able to use your coins, and coins are going to be worth a lot of money. You know, you only need a few coins in your pocket to walk around with. You don't need a lot. We'll see how that unfolds. But no way can the state get involved in what you're saying to communicate and to organize their own money and maybe work things out with another country. No, they have a compact, and the only people interested in doing that are the people that are going to be removed anyway. So that'll end that. All right, let's go to the next question.
Well, the next question is one by Nikki, and you're familiar with Nikki, and she talks about, I seem to have exhausted my administrative remedies. See attached scan statement of intention to proceed regarding 2018-CV-3716 and 550-CD-2022 Commonwealth Court decision. Does anyone at the NLA have a recommendation based on the three dose remedy provided in the 1766 Declaration and the ambiguity cited in the reading of the 1787 Con. If so, this may be an opportunity for groups like NLA to return the judicial system to its intended separation of powers function. And there's a lot of reading in that message.
First of all, a lot of that, I don't understand a lot of the what really she's talking about to some degree. I mean, I'd have to look at it and think about it and look some of these things up and see what. But I don't even know that really understand the question, to be honest with you.
Okay, well.
Do you have a clue on it? I mean, can you expound being able to have read the whole thing?
I have not read the whole thing.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's too much really to look at, but look at, we have a plan.
Too much right now. Yeah.
I can pass
this to you if you want it.
Yeah, you can throw it over into my box there. We have a plan. The plan has been executed. We executed this plan. Like I said, we started this plan a long time ago, and we got into the courts in 2015, moving into 2016, and we've been executing our plan ever since. We have not been without a plan, and it took a long time, and it's the way it is, and nothing could have been done sooner. By the grace of God, Trump got into power, and he set the stage for it to really, really take off. And we've given them our final papers, our final determination on the whole matter. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They can't deny the paper. We set it forth as an emergency for treason, and the law.
My diabetes level.
Someone.
A year ago was 7.2.
What's going on?
That was me, John. My fault.
All right. Anyway, trying to think where I was.
I'm sending it to you now.
All right. I was making some points here, and I forgot where I was, so okay. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, there's three more.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so Cassandra says, I'll provide the story below in a case that if there's time or for prior review to rephrase my question or shorter to point story. I live in Arizona, but in July 2021, I traveled to North Carolina. Along the way, I was stopped and searched. I am being charged with a misdemeanor for possession of THC in the state of Indiana. I hired an attorney as I couldn't afford to stay or revisit every hearing. That hasn't done anything I've asked. It is my first offense, and I've tried to get him to fight with what I know is right, but get nowhere. I was recently sent a notice of a court hearing March 10th. I paid court fees of $350, but I declined signing the six-month diversion due to not agreeing with the conditions contract stating I was required to pay for a $60 marijuana education course. Not
right.
Getting trouble.
We don't
for
have
six
to
months.
Hear no more. I got the picture. Enough of the
okay.
picture. Anyway.
Okay.
Look, the bottom line is you're stuck because you're not educated in the knowledge of the law. You don't know your rights and close enough, and you don't know how to execute them. You don't know how to go into court and deal with it. You have a minion of the New World Order. The fix is already in. They're either going to make money out of you or they're going to try to put you in jail or something. I don't know. The only thing I can say to people that have a problem with the court's situation like this, and there's a lot of other stuff, but the bottom line is you got to know how to defend yourself to protect yourself. If you're going to hire a lawyer to protect you, then you're not going to get anywhere with it if it's a bar attorney. But even attorneys that are not bar, you take Brent. Brent is not a bar attorney, and he's a lawyer, and he understands the common law. He wrote the book, but he understands the certain restrictions that take place in a court. At some point in time, they can't go any further, but only the people can, and that's the key. You see, we're not attorneys. We're not bar attorneys. We have plenty of look at. We're going to share this all on our course on law. And by the time you get to the end of this court, this course, you're going to know how to defend yourself. You're going to know how to execute necessary things in order to get to justice in the court. You're going to learn how to control the judge and what you can do. We'll give you some strategies. Now, of course, you know, there is no promise for anything ultimately, at least not this side of the situation where we're at, you know, until we get to the other side. But we're very close, and there are a lot of things you could do to control judges. I mean, I won a case with an IRS. I'm in another IRS case helping someone else on it right now. And you know, I got a release of lien, and I got an apology letter. I mean, who gets that? Obviously, we struck a chord somewhere. Obviously, we found something. And that case is going to be shared in full in our course. A very powerful, powerful case, and totally destroys them. They don't want it to come to light. And so they'll deal with you and submit at some point. Judges, you have to go after their bonds, their oath, and their financials. So in a court of law, you give them a quo warranto. They have 5 days to respond. They have to respond. They have no choice. And there's enforcement for that. There's statutes for that. And of course, you have to go up the line. And every place where they break the law and they violate the Constitution, well, you have to pull their bond and their oaths and their financials. And now I remember basically what I was talking about before going into the courts. But anyway, well, we'll talk about that later. So people can defend themselves, but you have to know how. That's what we're going to be teaching. And it's going to be powerful. And I'm putting it together the way that I have learned to work things out, and a lot of my tools and everything. When I write papers, I have a lot of tools at my disposal. And I'm going to share all those tools with everyone at this course. I don't know how many weeks it's going to take. It'll definitely take 12 to 16 weeks, maybe even more. Okay. But it's not going to be all as difficult. It's really learning how to get around things and how to work out, how to understand the process, the court process. And that's simple. You're going to see how simple that is. Other than that, it's how to have the tools, how to use those tools, and how to execute and pull together the things you need to build whatever case you have to build. We're going to teach how to do that. So it's going to be a powerful course, and anybody who has a problem and they have questions, as long as they've taken the course, then I can give them some ideas and thoughts. I can give them some counseling, which would be bare minimum, because now they have a structured mind to be able to receive that information and do something with it. You know, I can tell people sometimes what to do here or there, but it doesn't help them because they don't have the structure, they don't know the process, they don't know the next step. You'll constantly be stuck, you know, well, where do I go from here? And you get to that, well, what do I do next? And you have to know that structure of the court. You have to know how the system works. and that's what we will teach people at this course. So, again, the answer gets back to the same thing, knowledge. And people don't have the knowledge. And as long as we lack that knowledge, they're going to beat you up in the court. They're going to take your money. They'll put you in jail. And remember, if you don't have money to give them, then they'll take you and put you in jail, because they make money off people going to jail too, you know. The whole thing, there's this SQ account and all this other craziness that they've set up. So it's a big, you know, cash register for these people. So going back to what I had missed before, going back into the treason thing, why the United States Supreme Court must deal with us. Because there's a law, and we're putting it out. That's why we want our papers out to as many people as possible. People need to grab those papers and share them with everyone they can. They need to, any podcasting, you know, anybody that has a podcast going, share it with them. We're available for interviews and to talk, to get the word out. But the bottom line is this: our paper really, in the very first couple of pages, lays it out very, very clearly. And it lays out the fact that there is a law required. We are required by law. If we see treason, we become part of that treason as a principal if we don't tell some judge or the president or a governor. So we have to report it. So that's what we've done. We reported it. We've reported it before, but we reported it to the judiciary and it went nowhere. And we didn't expect it really to go anywhere anyway. But again, we were building the case. We have a 7-year case we've been building. We can prove without a shadow of a doubt everything we're talking about. We can show that there is a conspiracy. The judge acting on one side of the nation and a judge acting on the other side of the nation doing the very same thing. That's conspiracy. Okay, and it's throughout the whole nation. It's everywhere. So that proves the case. The point is treason. So we made the report. They have a duty now. The law requires them to do something about it. And we put it in right in front of their case, and we put plenty of proof to make the point. We've backed up everything as far as an understanding of our case. Remember, we have 19 memorandums attached to that case. Each one of them is a memorandum of law on a point that's being made in that paper. And at the end of the day, that paper, those 18 or 19 points that we make in that paper, brings us back to a court of law. And it shows how at 18, or I think it was 18 memorandums, maybe it's 19, but it brings us back point by point. We have to get back to each one of those because each one of them was a destruction of our law. They worked on this for a long time to destroy our courts, and they've accomplished that. In 1938, we lost it all. We lost our liberty. We lost our Constitution. We lost any control or any hope in the courts. And when you lose the court is what governs the entire nation. Remember that. We, the people, our nation is as just as our courts are. And that's why you have problems with the CIA and the destruction of all these other nations over the past 50 or 60 years, whatever it's been, and building all these democracies, which is just one step. I'm coming through someone's mic, so someone has to mute their mic out there. Democracy is just one step away from an oligarchy. We've been an oligarchy ultimately since JFK, since they assassinated him. That's when we became an oligarchy, and it has been that way up until Trump's administration. And I know Reagan tried to do something. Kennedy, of course, tried to do something. That's why they took him out. And there may have been another one here or there I'm revisiting Nixon, and Nixon may have been a guy. There's a lot of bad stuff about him, but I don't know that I can believe a lot of the bad stuff anymore. I'm hearing some things or heard some things about Nixon that they took him out because he was trying to fix the problem too. But in any event, I guess we'll move on to the next question. Did we lose you there?
My machine is running slow. Okay, the next question is by Charles, and I don't see the question anywhere. He's got about 2 pages of stuff, and I can't see the question, so I'm going to go on to Sheila.
Yeah,
this is the last one.
Simple and focused and on point. And
right. This is the last one. Dear NLA, we have been in pursuit of our land patent and have heeded the suggestion made by John to inquire at the county recorder of deeds. We have so far conducted a title history search and yielded a clean and quiet history. We then spoke with the Pennsylvania Department of Land Management, and they referred us to our county real estate department. The county then referred us to our local township. We then consulted the township manager with the reply that the township does not have the authority and permission from who, in quotes, or in parentheses, to act on and relist properties. We were then told to consult a land management attorney. Our attorney referred us to a reputable land attorney, but we do not believe we have to be dependent on an attorney to exercise a right to private property, nor do we want one. In all of the literature surrounding land patents and allodial titles, I do not recall the recommendation of an attorney. To rehash on the above statement of land management attorneys, this to us sounds like another jurisdiction unknown and a fiction. What do you suggest we do from here? This topic does arise on the call more often than not. Any help and comments would be appreciated. So what do you suggest they do here?
Well, here's the problem, and I'm not insulting the person because I'm guilty of it myself at some point, but I decided to do something about it, and that is ignorance. You're ignorant to the system. You're ignorant to the problem. You're ignorant to what this is all about. And you know, as I hear this, you know, this letter being read, you talk about they go here, and then they're referred to go there, and they're referred to go there, and lawyers send you here, another lawyer for over that, and a lawyer. Well, what are you dealing with all those people for? No, go learn the problem, learn the law, learn the process, and fix it. It's that simple. And yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle, but you can win it. You see, truth can prevail if you can win it, and you have the right strategy and the right mindset and the right attitude. You know, you got to believe that you're free and independent, and then you got to act that out. And it starts off believing it. And you can't believe it until you get knowledge to know it and understand it and to come to the realization of it and to really be able to stand on the shoulders of the people, you know, the giants in our past and our history, going, you know, right back into the Bible, of course, itself, because that's where common law really comes from. It comes from the Bible. And so the Bible is really the big focal point. But common law has a history. And you need to know it. Now, there is someone that shared this with me. I don't know if Gerard's had time to go through this, because I haven't had the time, but this is what you need to know about land patents. But I'll tell you what, I think it's a waste of time going that route. I think it gets a lot simpler than that. And again, before you can do anything with it, you have to have knowledge, and you have to be ready to move into the court to make these people obey the law. You want to move your land from residential or some commercial or whatever kind of a thing that they've listed out as, okay, and you want to go to private property. Once you move it to private property, now you're removed from the tax rolls. Now, how do you got to do that? Well, now you got to do some research. You got to find out the individuals involved with that, and then you have to be ready to take them into the court, because they're not going to do it on you just going to trying to fix the problem and your demand. You have to give them a demand, a notice and demand. You got to press the issue, and when they disobey that, you got to then move towards their and taking with the notice and demand. We'll take back, of course, you move in also with your oaths, bonds, and financials. Now you're putting the skin into the game, and then you move it into the court system. Okay, you start off on the state level, up into the federal level if necessary. But you see, once they understand that you're a problem, once they understand that you know more than they know, once they understand you understand the system and the problem and how it can be fixed, and then you're showing them how they're going to fix it, because that's the law, and they're going to be held liable because you're going to go after their bond, you're going to remove them from office, well, how do you do all that? Well, that's what you need to learn. Same thing, you control the school board, same way. It doesn't matter who the agent is, whatever government agency, you control them all the same way. You just have to understand the system, the process, the procedure, and you have to have the knowledge. And you have to come, and we're going to talk about this a lot in our course, okay? You have to come, when you come into the courtroom, they got to realize you know something they don't. And you got to go in there with, you know, a positive attitude, real sure of yourself. And that takes, you know, and you can only do that through knowledge. You can't do it any other way. Okay.
Can I say something about land patents?
Yeah.
It's not as complicated as they want you to believe. They just told them, we can't get back in and change that status. That's a lie. First of all, what you're doing is you're perfecting the deed and the title. Like some of the land, when the king gave it, there was encumbrances on it. It had to be used for certain things. Like they gave the school system so much property and things like that. So what you're doing is you're just making sure that that land was given in fee simple, which means there was no taxes, nothing due to king, nothing due to anybody. Once you establish that, and usually they were big tracts that were broken up. Once you do that, then you can go in and you can rebut the meets and bounds, which makes you a commercial entity that says you have pipes and wall, dockage and wharfage. I've read the New York State real property tax description, and it has nothing to do with my property. It's just like Title 26 with the IRS. They're holding you to as if you were some kind of tobacco and firearms dealer, alcohol. It's a scam is all it is. So you perfect the land patent. Basically, you're perfecting your title. There's no encumbrances on it, and then you're filing with the county. They have no choice. You don't ask them. You do it. They have no choice. And if they want to fight you, they got to fight. They got to come in and say, you don't have a right to that land. Yeah, well, show me why. You don't own it.
But you have to have knowledge to do that. And the knowledge that,
well,
again,
that's what you're doing when you perfect a patent.
Well, but you also have to have knowledge in order to enforce what you're bringing. Because first of all, they don't understand, or they're not going to want to understand. What they need to understand is the law. That's what they need to understand.
It's a simple
process. That they're breaking the law.
If they don't understand, they're pretending they don't understand. They understand.
Well, no, like these people, a lot of people, are ignorant.
You either own it or you don't own it. That's
no, but that's not the point. The point is they believe that it belongs on the tax rolls. That's what they believe.
The only reason they can keep it on the tax roll is because they have it in their name, so to speak. They have control over it.
Right, but they also have lawyers who tell them that this is the way it is, and they're true believers. And a lot of us are true believers. I was a true believer to some degree, but now I'm no longer one of those. I know the true truth, and that's what people need to know. The point is you have to now enforce it, and you have to, in order to enforce it, you're going to end up in the court. And you may not have to go to the court if you couch your and put everything, your papers together in the right way, and you put their skin on the line, because now you're chasing their bonds, you're chasing their office, you're going to move them from office, you're chasing their bonds, you're chasing their financials, you're chasing their oaths, you want to see the oaths and everything. Now you're looking at the fact that they're subverting, because that's what it is, it's subversion. Okay,
it's not as hard as you think it is, because they have land that is not subject to tax, so they already know that it can be done.
Well, someone does, maybe the lawyers or something, maybe.
Well, I mean, look at you.
They're not going to get them to do anything without going into the court. It's going to end up in the court, or the threat and the ability of you being able to take it in the court, and they know it.
Yeah,
until
you
can bring
an argument that they can't beat, that they can't answer.
That's the point. That's what you have to do, is you have to make the argument.
And it's there. It's very easy. It's not hard. They can't answer it, and they won't do it. And what they'll do is they'll grant you, and they'll try to keep it quiet so everybody else doesn't know.
Well, again, you know, if you can get through that way, fine, but there's a good chance you're going to end up in the court. Now you've got to deal with the court. But all of this is a lesson. It's a lot easier way. I don't believe you have to go through these land patent things. I don't think you have to do that at all. I think you just want to turn your property into private property, and you make the argument there. You keep it very simple.
Well, if you don't perfect the title, there could be an old contract that you're liable for. That's the whole idea.
You can't be liable of a contract that you don't know about. Okay, there is no contract if you have no knowledge. If someone's
written on one of the old deeds and it's in the paperwork, guess what? That's
problem. You know, if you came through the whole process and you were sold that piece of property and everything wasn't revealed to you, there's no liability in you. There's no contract. There's nothing. There's no meeting of the minds. There's no understanding. It's the same thing that they play the games with the birth certificates and the Social Security and all this other stuff, the driver's license. It's all a game. Again, you know, there is no, you know, and you get to the CESQ account.
They say ignorance of the law is no excuse. When you sign that stupid thing and it says you're a tenant on the land, you should know better.
So, well, that is true.
That
is true. You do have a good point there.
So, and, you know, you're entering into these, look at those agreements that were made way back when. We're still bound by those treaties that America made and that these landowners made. If it's still there, you're bound by it, and you should have known when you took it on. Look at that. If I buy a car and there's a lien holder on it, guess what? That becomes my lien.
But that is clear lien holder, okay? But,
well,
but no, as far as getting to being called a tenant,
it's not always listed on the deed, on the title.
But as far as being called a tenant, you do have a point there, and I have to look into that. You know, we have to really work a strategy out on that. But I don't think they're even smart enough to do that. You know, their knowledge, look at most lawyers, they're just minions of the New World Order. They don't know how to think. They're told what to think. It's like anybody goes for these doctrines, and, you know, you get to a lot of knowledge, but you're brainwashed through the process. They don't teach you how to think. They teach you what to think. And that's in all of the fields, pretty much. And That's the big problem. Now, so these people don't even know themselves, the little things. Look at that. Remember when we went and got involved with the in rem thing with the county and talked to the lawyers? They had no clue what that meant. No clue. Okay? And it only took us a little time of research to discover what that was all about. It is hidden pretty well, but we understood what it's about, what in rem means. Okay?
It's all fraud.
Of course, everything. The whole thing is fraud. And that's the game right there. fraud. When they turned the allodial titles, when they turned them over and made them into and turned the people into what tenants, like you're talking about, that gets back into the king's days. Okay, that whole thing was a fraud. It's null and void. Okay, same thing in the courts. Null and void. It's fraud. Everything they're doing. People are fighting the wrong battle sometimes. They need to go right to the simple things. Go look and focus on the serious problem, where it is. Find the few words here or there that gives you the definition of what's going on, and that's what you focus on, because that's what you got to break and replace and repair or whatever it is you have to do. I do think that this could be easy to do, and I'm going to try to find time to do a little bit of investigation on that, maybe after I get this course done. And maybe by the time we come to the end of the course, I might be able to add something in there on this. But people asked about land patents. We did find a paper. And again, I don't know if you had a time to look at it yet, because I don't have the time.
I was working with Robert Overyule when he was doing his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert found, he kind of cracked the code. And it turned out that they didn't do anything right, and he was sitting in a position where the town and the county and the city and all of them would have had to give up their holdings because they don't own them, because they had the patents all screwed up, and he discovered it. And I think that's the reason he's
dead.
Well,
let's get back to the Quo Vanto. There it is.
I think it was so powerful. They did not want to let them, but these guys had been making money. And not only that, it was fraud. And a lot of them that were in his community, they were in these positions for years living off of that fraud that they did. He discovered some of the things that they signed and the receipts and that. He was poised to take that whole area down. I don't know what would have happened.
Well, there's where the Quo Vanto comes to play. Okay, anybody that's in office, you can pursue it that way. You know, you could do a notice and demand, which is the normal way to do it outside of a court. But in court, you do a Quo Vanto, and you can transfer it from coming out of court, you know, doing out of court and moving it into court at some point. But the notice and demand could be sufficient enough, and the demand for those oath bonds and financials. They have 10 days to turn it over. If they don't, they just gave up their office. They're done. Okay.
So, and just like 9/11.
But they don't even know that. They don't even understand that. But go ahead.
Just like 9/11 was used to cover many, many, many frauds.
Mm-hmm.
That Building 7 going down, and the bomb into the Pentagon with the trillions of dollars missing from the Department of Defense. They used that particular terrorist attack to cover their asses for all the crap they did for the past 30 years before that. Well, COVID was the other one. Because if you were a problem, they take you in the hospital, they jack you full of remdesivir, they put you on the vent, and they kill you. And I believe that's what they did to him, because they had the COVID available as a weapon, and everybody that came in had COVID, everything was COVID, so they killed him. And I don't know, his wife just barely got out, I think. She finally made it out. But, you know, it's a problem, and that's what they always do. They always have these things to cover their asses, you know, and if they can't, then they have a way of killing you, basically. And so now what are they doing? They're putting in protocols. Since when do doctors work off of protocols? Doctors are supposed to practice medicine. They're not supposed to, the government's not supposed to have a protocol on how to treat strep throat or how to treat COVID or anything like that. That has nothing to do with them. They're not the experts in that. It's the doctors. The doctor's supposed to use his experience, his clinical, all this stuff. He's supposed to make the decision. And they took all that away with this COVID. Oh, no, the protocol says you will get remdesivir, which is a horrible, horrible medicine.
We're going to have to move on because it's getting late and we have people in the queue. I want to try to get to some questions.
All right, I'm sorry.
I want to finish off on a few things, and I'll pass the controls over to you, but I'll be in the background working with you on some of these answers. But to the questions. Is there any more questions at all? Or was that the last question, Terry?
That was the last question. Thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you. All right, just real quick, I just want to go through a few things and talk about what we're doing here with the course. And the course is found under Education Starts Here, come down to court access in the common law course. And if you click on that, you'll come to some information about the course. It's going to start. I know someone sent an email asking what time the course is going to be on a Saturday. It's going to be noontime, noon to 1:30. I tried to figure a time that works for East Coast, West Coast. I think noon works out good. Saturday is probably the best day because Sunday's the Lord's Day, and the weekdays are too many people. Everybody's a lot of people working. Most people are working or involved in different activities. Getting into the nights and the evenings, it's a little difficult. I mean, we got a Monday night here, you know, maybe a lot of people can't make it or they have to go to bed early. People on the West Coast, you know, it's earlier for them, so they may stay a little longer. You know, so anyway, trying to figure times to do this, I figured Saturday was the best time. But it will start at noontime. It'll run to 1:30. It'll be an hour and a half, approximately, anyway. I'd like to keep it under that hour and a half. Part of that, hopefully, will be an open forum, questions on, and discussions a little bit on what was learned that day. So all the information you need. The target date is going to change. I've come to the conclusion today as I was working on this thing. I'm not going to be done with this course prepared by this coming Saturday. So we're going to move it another week. So whatever that is, we were planning on the 18th, so we're going to move it to the 25th. I'll change this date to tonight or tomorrow when I get a chance. And I'll send out an email to let everybody know. Course is going to start on the 25th instead of the 18th. Because I just can't. I thought 2 weeks might be enough for me to put all this together, but it just isn't. And you know, but I have put a lot of stuff together already. And I think again, we have to move it. So I'll send out the information. A couple of things I want to discuss about, or just make the points about this. Number one, and I sent an email out on this. Number one, couples that are living in the same household. You know, if they want to take the course, they could take it together. They should send in two applications. They only have to pay the one fee, the $125, you know, not each, just once for both of them. And, you know, they can listen in on the computer together, but they're going to want to have their own access code to be able to get the information on their own computers that we're going to share with them, which is going to be a lot. It's going to be a myriad of information. And to give you an example of that, anyway, first, you know, you read through this and you can click on the application, send the application, give us the application, send that. It's got to go through the mail. Check the money order is the only way to do it. So anyway, there is the information that we need. Before I go a little too far on this to look at other things, I just want to cover another couple items here on that, on payments. There's a couple of people who said that they want to take the course, but they can't afford the $125 right now, and they wanted to pay it in payments. So if that's what, if you have to do that, then on the bottom of the form, just write down the amount of the check that's in, whatever you can afford, and whatever kind of payment plan you want to make. Just write it down, very simple, short and sweet, in the bottom of the form, and you know, we'll open up the course for you. People need to get their forms in because it takes us time to get, you know, to process it. You know, we haven't even started processing yet. And I'll be talking with Jan hopefully tomorrow to start the processing on this and start setting it up. And we'll be able to communicate directly through email to that particular group. Anybody who comes into the course will be able to communicate to them. There'll be a code to get into the room. It'll be this room, but there'll be a code. You'll get a code. We'll deliver that by email. If you don't have it before the course starts, you're going to want to get in touch with Jan. You can find his phone number at under the directory, or you can send him an email, jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. Make sure you put your name and your phone number in there and your username. Tell him you didn't get an access code, and he'll make sure you get it. Okay, the other thing is a third one. National Leadership for National Liberty Alliance here, you can get into the course for free. Anybody that's an active national leader, okay, get a hold of Jan. I know Jan sent out an email on this to a lot of people. You made contact. But if you haven't got your application in, you're not going to get into the course. You still have to fill out the application. You just don't have to attach a check to it or a money order. We're giving that to free to because we want people to get educated that's working with us. You can email that to me, or you can mail it, or you can get it to Jan, and Jan will get me a copy, whatever we need to do. But anyway, that's free for those individuals. So we're doing everything we can. We keep the price down really low. And the main reason we're charging for this course is I had to figure out a way to get enough money together to rebuild our website, which we're working on right now. We've already executed and started to work on it. So we had to really do this. You know, we asked people for money. We did get a couple of thousand came in. And recently someone was very generous and gave us about $2,500 or $2,600. And between that and those two things and the course, we're going to have plenty of money to do what we have to do with our website now and also other monies for other things that's necessary. I mean, money makes the world go round, makes things move, makes things happen. It's the dirty part of business, but it has to be dealt with. You know, all our education on our website, which we have a lifetime of education. You take a lifetime, you're not going to get through everything we have on this website. So we have a really tremendous amount of education, all for free. And only a couple of years ago, we started requiring people to be premier members in order to get into our government by consent course. And a premier member is someone that's given $5 a month or more. So it's not a big thing. It's a cup of coffee and a bagel or a donut or whatever it is. Once a month, you give that up, and there's your $5. That adjustment, when the money changes, by the way, the adjustments will be changed also. I mean, you know, that $5 might be a nickel to, you know, what I don't know what the relationship will be. I can try to, you know, I'm going to think about that and talk about that next week because I do know how we can set a relationship of the money by looking at the ratios of what money was going back into the turn of the, into the 20th century and then into the 21st here. And what it was when our founding fathers were alive, so we can figure that out to see basically where we're at to a reasonable amount. So anyway, when we get to the other side, your donation may be something like a nickel or something instead of $5. So we're not looking to get rich here, but we are looking to operate. And if all our members gave that $5 a month. Boy, we'd have so much money to do so many things, and we'd be able to go professional. We really need, you know, in order to be successful here at National Liberty Alliance, we got to go professional. We got to get people paid, get paychecks, and we have to get some seriously educated people, and that's what we're trying to get the people who are working with us right now to get them educated. But in any event, I guess that's that with that. Let me see what else I have here. Oh, okay. So anyway, here's some of the things. And the education starts here, come down to court access and the common law. If you look on your website right now, you won't have these two pages, court access documents and forms and court access recorded video course. I'll click on that one first. Once we register you and get you registered into the system, you'll see those two pages. You'll just appear as long as you're signed in. You'll see those two pages. This is where we're going to record all of our courses on this page here, and they'll be in video. The latest will be first, and so on down the line. So every lesson that we have will be video recorded, and it'll be posted here. And we'll talk more about that inside the course on how we're going to work with that. But people who maybe miss a course date, you can go here and get it. People who want to take the course but they can't be here on a Saturday because they're working or they can only be here for half the time or whatever the case may be, that's okay. They're going to be recorded in video. You're going to have everything, all the information that everyone's going to get live. The only difference is you're not going to be able to ask anything on an open forum at the end of that course on that day. But still, we're here on Monday nights Hopefully we can get through a lot of the things we get through today, which we're spending a lot of time on. I'm trying to get to open forum as soon as we can. But in the future, I think we'll be quicker to open forums and people will be able to come ask their questions. If you're taking the course and you let us know you have a question because you didn't make the meeting, you know, the live session, and you get a hold of Jan, and as long as you give them your, whatever name you're coming in on or phone number you're coming in on, we usually tell people to put their first name and their state. if they're coming in through apps, or if they're coming in on the phone, we can identify them by their phone number. So those are the things, if you let us know, hey, I'm in the course, I can't make it on Saturday, or I didn't make it this past Saturday, I have a couple of questions, and we'll make sure you get pushed to the front of the queue so that we can answer those questions. So everything, and we'll be here indefinitely. You know, you'll have access to this material, you have access to this course at any time. You can review it and go through it many times as you want, and really get the knowledge. You know, knowledge is achieved by really just going through things over and over. It's just, you know, hearing it and reading it and seeing it over and over and over. And going through, you know, different things and papers and so on. So repetition is what gives it, really enforces it into the brain. It really, you know, gets you frameworked out, you know, filling out the framework of knowledge that you're building upon. Okay, now the other page, okay, that will be here, and what I mentioned earlier, all of our tools, all the tools that I use to write the cases will be available here on this page. I've already got a lot of stuff up here. Some of these things will be updated. But we have everything up here. We have law dictionaries, footnotes, the founding documents, founding fathers' quotes. We got forms. We got the U.S. codes, especially the important ones that we can use against these people because they live by the code. Causes of actions. You know, a lot of this stuff is not up there yet, so I have a lot more stuff to put up here. Causes of actions, the defenses, motions, affirmative defenses, memorandums, court decisions. Important court decisions, habeas corpus, case examples, federal appeal, how to make an appeal. You know how to do a federal appeal pretty much the same way anywhere else anyway. Notice and demands, IRS case in point. We have a lot of information on the IRS and dealing with the IRS from the beginning and winning in court. You can win in court. Maxims or rules of the court, enforcement, ready for trial, jurist handbooks. And again, there's a lot more. I'm still building this. So I'm at a point. That's why I got to push another week in order to get the time to finish this. So this will always be available to you at all times, indefinitely. So you come on any time and download. When you build a case, I'm going to teach you how to build a case using this information. And how, because really the structure is very simple. It's just, you know, law is constructive, okay? And it's building your case and building your paperwork. And once you understand the process, then it's a matter of being able to know where to get the information you need for a specific case and how to write it and defend it and so on and so forth. So we're going to lay all that out and teach it to you. So this will be available indefinitely. You know, of course, you can download this to your computer. Let's take Black's Law, 4th edition, right here. You click on that, you'll be able to come over here. There's a download button you should be able to do. Okay, right there, and you can download it there. But another way to do this is if you come in here and you right-click, let's say the footnotes. If you right-click the footnotes, okay, you should be able to save link. Save link as. And then a box will open up, and you'll be able to save it on your computer. So you could save all this stuff. Anybody who, if you get access, and you will get access to this before the course starts, because we're going to start registering people, I would strongly suggest not to start downloading anything if that's what you intend to do, until we get the course going, because some of these things may be changed up by updating it. There's a lot more information to come. Again, you just have this page open and write your case by using this as the way to get through, you know, and using this as your tools. So you can save each one to your computer, or you can just come here. You know, interesting is footnotes here. These are footnotes I've been collecting since I started. I got a lot of footnotes, okay? And so footnotes, you just, well, let me see what happened here. Oh, it opened on the other side. Hang on a second. Okay, so footnotes will come down. I'll be able to download them into your computer. This is the footnotes that opened up, okay? Lots and lots of footnotes. Plus, I have lots of papers that you're going to have with footnotes attached. We're going to teach you how to write your case, how to use the word processor, the specific things you need to put footnotes in, how to format your paper and everything you need to know about this. But, you know, I use this all the time, constantly, you know, for my footnotes. I just come into here and look up for the footnote I need to be dealing with and come in and just click on it. For instance, open up this, and here's information on equity, lots of stuff. You can also, we're going to teach you how to go through the dictionary and find this stuff pretty simply also. So, you know, if you don't have a footnote and you're looking for a particular footnote on a particular subject, we're going to teach you how to find that quickly into Black's Law. And then you can add to the footnotes yourself so you have more. So we'll teach you how to go through the books. We'll teach you the codes, how the codes work, what the codes are for, powerful codes that you'll need in order to control the court, to control the office of the court, to control any officer in government, really, through those codes. So again, extremely powerful, and you're not going to find this stuff anywhere. You know, I do know of one course. It's twice the amount we paid, but you're only going to learn process from that, and you're not going to get the detail we're going to give you. And there's a lot of things they're not going to teach you. They're not going to teach you anything about the common law. They're going to teach you about civil law. I had to take that course in order to learn process. So you'll learn the process here, and then you're going to learn the common law, and you're going to learn, you know, mindsets and, you know, strategies. And when we get new strategies, I'll post them up here. Anything new, as a year goes by and I get something new, and I'm always getting things new, I'll be adding more and more stuff up here. So tremendous amount of material and information. I promise you, anybody that puts the time in is serious about getting an education, will even tell you how to learn. You know, maybe you have your own strategy on learning, but we'll give you a strategy on learning and putting this all together. I promise you that if you really work on this and get serious about an education and follow what we're saying and how to even learn, and again, maybe you have your own process, people can learn differently, but you'll be able to go into court and command that court. That's the key. And you'll have far more power than any lawyer, because lawyers are restricted. They get pulled into the back room. They won't dare pull you into the back room because they have nothing to threaten you with. That's why they try to threaten you with jail or try to throw you out of a court. They don't. With lawyers, they threaten them with their quote-unquote license that doesn't really exist. But it's a license, and even lawyers think it's a license. It's really strange. But again, remember, lawyers are not thinkers. Okay, they're minions. They've been taught what to do and procedure, and what to, in many ways that lawyer procedures. And when the judge pulls you into the back room and says, "This is the way the case is going to go. This is the one that's going to end up. This is going to be here or there." You know, signal that's what's going to happen. How the court case is going to end. But we'll stretch it out as long as we can so everybody can make their money. Okay, guys, let's go. Let's go to work. I mean, that's the game. It may not be as clear cut as that, but it's understood. Lawyers are pulled onto the carpet and told, "You don't bring that up into that court. Don't ever bring that up again." And that's why you go into courts, and sometimes if you have a little knowledge, you wonder why your lawyer isn't making a position that's going to win the case, because he can't. He's already been told he can't. And that's the problem. Courts are destroyed. We need to get it back. But they can't do that to us. They can't pull us into the back room. They have nothing to threaten us with. I'll talk about how to prevent yourself from being really being held in contempt in the court. You got to be very careful with that, and we'll give you a strategy on that and tell you how to go about dealing with the problem, getting the message to the judge and not being held in contempt. Because that's probably one game they'll try to play, but that's difficult for them to do too, not against the people. A lawyer, they can do it pretty easy, but the people, it's a little difficult. And we'll talk more about that in the course. But anyway, that's what's involved, and anybody that and this course will be available indefinitely. You know, 2-3 years from now, people can come up and take this course, and they can come into open forum to ask questions if they need to, and we'll assist them. So, all right, let me move on because we're really running out of time. We want to get to some open forum. So I'll just end it there. I got a lot more to say. We'll bring up a lot more stuff next week, maybe on this. And again, like I said, we're going to move it away from the 18th, and we're moving it on to what day did I say? Let's see, the 25th. So the 25th will be the first day of the course. I'll change the paperwork accordingly. All right, Gerard, I'm going to pass it over to you. The controls over to you. Why don't you open up open forum, and we'll get as many people as we can in. Gerard, you there? Are you muted?
Yeah, maybe he's working with the same thing I am. It's hard to get on that button and unmute.
Well, to mute or unmute yourself when being coming in as an administrator here, you can just come to the bottom and unclick the mute button, no? On at the bottom left corner?
I know, but my computer is running slow and my cursor wouldn't get on it and stay.
And maybe Gerard walked away from his computer for a minute. I'll open up open forum and we'll call for him after each question here. So let me get over to open forum, over to the Q&A session. Anybody wants to get into the Q&A on your app, you should find a little place to get into the Q&A, a little button. Or if you're on a phone, star 6 and a 1. Okay, and the best way to learn here is always to try to come in on a browser or even a smartphone. I guess you can come in through that because we do a lot of sharing on the desktop, and visual is very important to really get a lot of information across. Okay, we're going to take our first caller. It looks like it is Ross.
Mike? Hi, John. How are you?
Good.
I asking, did you receive?
Yes, I got it.
Okay. I just heard you change the date to the 25th.
Right. And I'll change the date on the paperwork tomorrow.
Meaning?
On the website. You know, I'll change it.
Yes.
Signing in. But I'm going to get an email out to everybody and give them the information on that. So, you got a question or anything?
I'd be gone on that 25th anyway, so I can try to participate when I'm in California.
You're gonna be gone on the 25th?
Yes.
Well, that's okay. It'll be recorded. You'll be able to pick up the recording on the page that I told you, like right here. You'll see these once we register you into the system, which we haven't started yet, but hopefully during this week we will get everyone registered that we got paperwork on already. Just come down to Court Access and the Common Law where you got the application to come in, and then you'll see two more pages that weren't available before. These two pages you'll be able to see. And if you click on the video for the course, you'll find the video right here. Okay. It'll be, the last one will be first. And we'll have all of them coming down. So anybody that misses a Saturday, that's okay. It's recorded, and you get that information. Anybody who's working on a Saturday and can't get to the course at all, well, you could still take the course. And again, you could take it at your own convenience whenever you want, because you'll be able to download all of them or just watch them. And again, these pages will always be available to the people who have come in and filled out an application. It'll always be there indefinitely. Okay?
Yes. I'm looking forward to learn how to command the court.
Well, that's the key, and that's what we're teaching. And I feel confident to say it's going to be a powerful, powerful course.
Yeah.
To really empower you. I do believe that. And you'll have a leg up on being able to win a court case. You know, again, confidence is the key. You know, I was a general contractor, and I started off in business, building and doing small things. And I remember my first deck I built was, something like, I don't know, 10 by 6 or something. It was a little deck with stairs and rails on it and stuff. And it took me a while to figure out certain things about it, particularly with the stringers, so it took a while to do it. But once you do it the first time, next time, all of a sudden, it's a cinch. But confidence was the key thing. I remember trying to sell central air conditioning, and I was a general contractor eventually, but I sold everything, done everything in the construction field. But I remember trying to sell air conditioners. We would be able to do central air conditioning and make some good money on that. And it took me a long time. You know, I went on a lot of estimates, maybe 6 months or so before I sold my first air conditioner, central air conditioner, and installed it. And then all of a sudden you get another. And then after that, the confidence, okay, is reflected in your experience, as you go and talk with an individual to give them a good price and offer them a product that they're looking for and put and install it, that confidence is shown in your attitude, the way you hold yourself, and so on and so forth, and then your sales pick up and you become successful. Same thing in the court. Okay, you got to get that confidence, and we're going to try to teach people that confidence. And again, if you're not a good articulator, if you can't articulate well, you can always have someone to assist you, and because you have the right of assistance of counsel, and in certain areas they can articulate the point, but you have to be in total control of your case. You have to write the papers, you have to get the points out, and so on. So anyway, we're going to hopefully teach you that too. But with that, I got to move to my next question. Thank you. Okay, next question. Let's see, who's the next person here? Gerard, are you back yet? Gerard? All right, we'll take the next person. John, you got the mic.
Yeah, John, thank you. One thing you were talking about earlier tonight was about the dollar, and you're not thinking.
By the way, I received that letter today. I really appreciate that in the mail.
Oh, well, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A dollar is defined in the system of weights and measures, and a dollar is not a thing. It's a unit of measurement for money, like ounce.
Correct.
And a unit of measurement for weight. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you say I want a dollar, it makes absolute sense to say a dollar of what? Just like you said, I need a quart. You would say a quart of what?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a lot of people. You got to think of it in terms of that. So, define a dollar.
And the relationship of a dollar, whether it be in gold or silver, 20 silver coins will equal one gold ounce coin. Is it the 20 ounce silvers, which are the U.S. coins, and then an ounce of gold? That was the original value, 20 to 1. Okay, right now it's, I don't know, maybe it's $2,000 or close to $2,000, okay, for an ounce of gold. That's why silver is a good deal right now, because you can get silver at probably, I don't know, maybe it's around $18 an ounce these days, I'm not sure. I know on silver coins, which is 90%, but it's got face value strength, so it doesn't matter. Silver coins are about $18 a piece, roughly, last time I looked, it's been a while. But if you work out the relationship of that between 2,000 and 18, let me just run that. You take 2,000.
110 to 1.
What was that?
About 110 to 1.
Is that what it is? Okay. So 18, just let me. Yep. Yeah, that's it. 111 I got, but that's right. So it's 100. The ratio is 100, 111 to 1. Okay, when the ratio should be 20 to 1. Why is it that like that? Because silver is an important thing that needs to, in order to keep society moving. It's found in a lot of places. Even in the computers, you have some silver, and sometimes a little gold, but silver is the key. Copper is very important. It's a metal that's necessary, and it's got a value. And you got to keep copper and silver down, so they inflate the inflation is mostly on the gold. But you get your best deals on silver and copper right now, particularly silver. And so 111 to 1, that's going to turn back to 20 to 1 at some point. So think of the value of that silver dollar at that point for what you're buying it now and what it's going to be in the future. Because we will get back to that 20 to 1 ratio. Actually, it's 19.94 to be exact. If we go with the value of silver coins to an ounce of gold, if we go back to the days of our founding fathers. And we didn't have anything but a penny movement back and forth over the first 100 years until the Fed came around. And then the dollar dropped like a lead ball.
Dollar, if you look in the U.S. code, the dollar is still defined as 371.5 grains of silver, stamped into coin by a U.S. Treasury. That's still the definition of a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about this. The face value of a coin, it's a U.S. coin. You see, the dollar is a Federal Reserve note, okay, which is really debt. But the coins is still U.S. Coined, okay? And that has face value. And that moves with inflation up and down, up and down. So even though it doesn't have the precious metals in it no more, it does have a little bit of metal value in the silver dollars, the ones that are out there. Not much, but it's got some copper in it. And nevertheless, that face value will always be there. So I would suggest to people, especially if you don't have money to invest in silver or gold, just collect coins. Go to the bank and get coins. Take nickels. Nickel, the makeup of a nickel never changed. I know in 2009, Congress voted and approved for the nickel to be changed, to take the nickel out of the nickel. But the Senate didn't push it through, and it never passed. And so the nickel makeup, metal makeup, is the same as it's been for over 200 years. So that's an interesting thing. A box of nickels is $100. So that's a big value right there when you work the ratio out to its face value. So it's $100 to its face value on what's going to be on the other side. It's going to have real power. Mm-hmm. So, a dollar's worth about, last time I looked, about 2 cents, literally.
So, well, the Federal Reserve note.
Huh? Yeah, the Federal note, right. It's a debt. This is what it is, federal debt. So you carry the person with the most debt at the end loses the greatest. So,
well, I just wanted to make sure that people understood that it's a dollar as a unit of measurement. It's not a thing. It's
right.
Name of it.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a weight measurement. You're exactly right, and that's how they work it out. So, but even the dollar, I think you're going to get dollar for dollar value on its true reverse. The dollar note that you have, Federal Reserve note, will be turned into a real dollar. I think it's going to be face value because, again, that's going to be one of the ways to give back to the people, to restore the people, So if you save I wouldn't save anything in the bank. I only leave what's necessary in the bank. But if you save in coins and in dollar bills, I think, well, the coins will definitely have value. I do think the dollar bills will have its face value also, because again, we're going to be restored. If they were in charge at the time of the reset, then we would be in such debt, and they would destroy us just through that debt value that they have up against us. So, and that was their plan. But now the tables are turned. It's not ours. It's their debt. We're going to take everything from them and give it back to the people, so we'll be restored.
Very good. Okay. All right. That's the point I wanted to make. So.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Whatever Saturday it is. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll take our next caller then. Thanks, John. Gerard, are you back yet? I'll move to the next person while I'm waiting for Gerard. Let's see, who is this? Someone from Florida. What's your first name?
Hey,
from
John. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm exhausted as usual.
Yep.
So I want to ask have you checked like on your filing so far as have you been given a case number yet?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Have you checked yet to see if you've been given a case number yet?
We already had a case number. We had a case number we got in 2016 or 2015. And we used that. That was a federal case number. And we used that number.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay, Matt.
We also had a common law number that we created ourselves. If I recall,
yeah.
It was 1776. 1789
right.
and 1791, which of course is the three dates, years for our founding documents, Declaration of Independence,
yeah,
Constitution.
Yeah, but few of them with that number.
I'm
like
sorry.
Which one? You have a few that you're using the common law case number. Like which one would I find? Like I'm trying to look on the Supreme Court site.
Oh well, in if you look on the paper, let's see, it's right up here. Let me get to it. Come here to the... Gerard, by the way, if you're there, pipe in. Let's see, today's issues come down to mandamus to the Supreme Court. And let's open up the mandamus. There should be a case number in here.
And okay.
There it is right here. And but that's up in the Northern District, the original filings, and I don't know how they'll do it up there, but I'll tell you, they've already concealed that number and everything in it. So people have been looking. Well, that's what they do. That's who they are.
Yeah. Well, try this. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with this. You know, I have a few cases. I have one already by default, you know.
You know, the course will teach you a lot about that. I know you have a lot of knowledge, so, but I mean, I'm doing one right now, another one.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, what makes a judge think he's God, he can see point blank as you are, you know, processing the case, and of course he hates, you know, that you know how to do it. And then by what authority does he think he can reverse that to protect the enemy?
Yeah, but the point is you have to use leverage and a strategy against him. And you have to look at, you have to set the stage right in the beginning. Okay? Right in the beginning you have to have the law of the case in your paperwork laid out. We already know all the BS they're gonna do. We already know all of the games that they do. And if you look at if you look at our law of the case, which we're going to talk very deeply about,
I have it and I use it.
Yeah, but I've got even a better one than that. So we're always working on getting the paper. But yeah, you got a good one already, but this is better.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is once you have everything established in the court case, listen. Once you have established in your court case, you start using it, and this is part of the strategy. When the judge when a judge makes a move and he goes against the law of the case. You give him judicial notice of the law of the case and where it's written in your case, and you hold his feet to the fire. If that judge continues to move the wrong direction, then you have to do a quo vanto, and 10 days. And then in 10 days you start the removal process. There's an enforcement or a removal from office on this, and we've got that in our paperwork also. And then you move it into either another judge comes in and makes the right decision, or if you're not getting anywhere with that, then you go through the appellate process and you move it up the line for appeals. And again, to the next judge and so on and so forth. Whatever you got to do, you got to put the pressure on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go after their bonds, and you're going to get a settlement on the bonds through the bonding company. They'll have an administrative process. And I hear that they're pretty good at making a good decisions on that.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. We'll find out. So now you're going to get his money. Financials are going to be beat up from the bond company, okay, because whatever agreement they had going with him. And if he totally disregarded any of this, he just lost his office. He's going to be removed from the bench. Now that's the law, and it's still there. So again, you have to exercise that law.
Yeah, remember I told you this clerk has been thinking somebody told, I don't know, somebody deceived him thinking he's judge, and he keeps trying to litigate the case. I wrote him in a mandamus. I already gave him a quo vanto proving he's not. They don't disagree with the things that I tell them. What they do is they love to tell me what they're not going to do or either just ignore what I say. All right? So I served this quo vanto on the clerk. And then I attentioned it to the chief judge. So all he did immediately the day after, rather than do what I said, he said, well, okay, no action will be taken on the quo vanto because the case has already been dismissed. He keeps on acting as tribunal.
Well, you got to move to the next. No, stop. You got to move to the next step. Look, you have to be hardcore. You say it once, take the move. And you go on, and you keep taking it to the next step. If you don't do that, then he's really, you know, taking control of the case, and he's figuring, oh, well, either you don't know what to do next, or you're afraid to do it, or you got to go in. And again, this is the important thing of really getting the whole picture, to get that confidence built up, and to immediately deal with the problem. Do not let it ferment in the courtroom. You got to deal with it. Look, once he breaks the law, the case, as far as I'm concerned, stops. Even if you were in a trial, it stops. We're going to the appellate because we have to get a decision from the appellate before we even move one more inch forward towards moving in this case. I got to get going in a few minutes. I don't know if Gerard's available yet to finish off.
I think it's Supreme Court. The appellate court is the one that's breaking the law now.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'll have to take it to the Supreme Court because it's the appellate court that's breaking the law now.
Well, there should be, isn't there two appellates on the, there's an appeals and an appellate on the federal level, just like on the state, or no?
No, there's only the 11th Circuit.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that because I'm working on that myself on figuring that part of the process out. So, I got to create a strategy. But the thing is, you then have to do the same thing to the next judge. Look, once he sees what you've done before, then he's going to be thinking about that, and then you do the same thing to them, next judge. How many appellate judges do you have to go through? You don't have to go through another process if there's, you know, not another appeal system there. That's okay. You can just go from judge to judge because you broke the law.
Yeah, there's a chief judge who's already breaking the law, and so now I have to take it to the Supreme Court.
Right, look, I gotta go because I gotta go pick my son up, and I don't know if Gerard. I'm gonna try to take one more call. I'm already late to pick him up. But Gerard, if you're here, let me know. Okay, let me see if I can get to. Hang on a second, Q&A. Let's see if we can take one more call.
All right,
I'll talk with you another time about it if you want. But are you coming into the course?
Yeah, I already wrote you about. I've been directly in contact. I told you, me and my husband are going to get together.
I think I sent you a note that you don't have to pay twice, just once for both of you, and you both have access. Two applications, though. I got to go because I want to try to get another person or two before I leave, okay?
Okay.
All right. We got three people. If we can deal with 1 minute apiece, then I can get everybody, and we'll see what happens. Kathy, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. My name is Kathy.
Yep. How you doing, Kathy?
I talked to you last week about my husband who has stage 4 cancer, and he's in a fraudulent guardianship. And you said maybe you could help me with a habeas corpus. I just found out tonight, right before the call, that my husband died under mysterious circumstances. I want to know how can I get an autopsy? The guardian said he's going to cremate my husband's body. How do I take control and get an autopsy done and stop the cremation?
You are his wife, his spouse.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, and I sent you an email tonight.
Listen to me. You need to write a notice in demand, okay? And on that notice in demand, you need to make it clear on what you expect and what you desire. And you have to certify it, you have to notarize it, and you have to certify that, and you have to get that as quick as possible to them. In this case, I would have the sheriff serve it to them, okay? And
I serve a notice in demand to the guardian, or where do I...
Well, to the guardian, to the court, to everyone. You need to move quickly.
Okay.
Give me,
I understand.
Send me an email with your phone number, and I'll talk to you tomorrow a little bit about this, right?
Okay. I'll put my name in the subject line.
Are you in the course? Because you're going to need the course to deal with this.
Yeah, I'm going to be. Yes, I haven't registered yet, but I am definitely going to be.
Send me your email, your phone number and an email, and I'll call you tomorrow. All right?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye. Okay, let's try another person. Gerard, are you here? Cara, you got the mic. What state are you from?
Can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead. What's your first name and your state?
Josh from Kentucky.
Josh from Kentucky. I only got a minute because I got to leave, but go ahead.
Okay, so I got a traffic citation. And it's been probably about 11 months or so. My first affidavit, when I addressed the court, I used your form basically, actually, and did a opened a court of record and did a show cause and discharge They never responded. The DA responded.
Did you go to the court when they had the court case? Did you go to the court?
I did, but I appeared in a special appearance, and I've not given
you told them that the papers that you filed the papers, and you should then file. You then need to file a default on them, and if you did it properly by filing it with the court and filing it with the quote unquote prosecutor, because they're prosecutors now, after court, and you gave it to both, and you've done it properly, served it properly with on a motion, and filing it with the court, and then the next thing you do is you move for a default judgment, okay?
Right.
And that's your next process. If you haven't done that, that's what you need to do. And then if they continue to have a problem, your next step is to move it to federal court for cause. And again, we'll be teaching all of this and have all the paperwork in our course.
Yeah, I'm signing up for that. So,
okay.
It's been 80 days. So I guess really my question. I'm sorry, say that again.
They're beyond default now. But
they're beyond. Yeah, and I've already got an affidavit. I've just got to go get it notarized and go serve it on them. But my question is how do I maintain? And I think we're going to go over this in the course. How do I continue the court of record?
Because every paper, that, again, law of the case.
Is a continuance,
every paper
right?
requires on the paper as they file it whatever the jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is, and if someone puts jurisdiction other than a court of record under the common law, then you have to challenge that paper and say, wait a second, what are you doing here? Are you trying to change jurisdiction? This isn't the jurisdiction I opened. Look, it is an uphill battle with the judge on jurisdiction, and they need to understand the meaning of a court of record, which lawyers do not know. Federal judges know. I don't know if state judges know. I don't know what they know, to be honest. I'm really surprised.
They played ignorant.
Yeah. But that's...
I'll do a default.
That's what you have to do. We'll be talking about that in the course.
Okay. All right.
Keep
thanks.
Jurisdiction. Okay.
Yeah.
I got to go to the next person, and I got to get out of here. I apologize.
Hey, are we going? It's after 11. We're only going to 11 or whatever.
Yeah, I've been trying to get you, but hold on a minute. That's my son calling me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer it right now. You want to finish this last caller? I got to go.
Yeah, go ahead. We only got one more.
All right.
After 11. Okay. That's Lou. Let me see. Let me open up your mic.
Okay. Yes, you're on. How you doing?
Good, good, good. What's up?
I have a few questions. Okay. The first one I'd like to ask, the first question would be... does my husband have to be a premier member to take the course with me?
You have to be a premier member to take the course with you?
Does he need to be?
Who? Oh. You mean you're going to share it?
Yeah, Gerard, John's going to allow couples to share it, but that is a good question. John, are you still here by chance? If he's not...
What was the question?
The question is, does her husband have to be a premier member as well as herself?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I'll let you know. I don't think so. I think they'll be able to get in as long as one of them is a premier member. I guess it's fine. If you're given $10 or more, most people are given $5. But if you're given $10 or more, break it up into two fives, and that settles it pretty easily. But I don't think it will require that you have to be two. I'll see what we can do about making that okay that you can get into the course without that, checked. We can actually check it and bypass it. Send us two applications. And we'll see if one of the couples is not a premier member, we'll check the box and make them a premier member anyway. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And is that a course? I mean, the course going to be on the 12 o'clock Eastern or West?
Eastern, 12 o'clock Eastern time. Go to the page there. It says over here, education starts here. Court access in the common law course. Click on that, okay. And all the info is right in here. I'll be changing the date to the 25th, though. Right?
Okay. We did order up the books, which is recommended, Common Law Court Handbook. Is that what you, you know, we're supposed to buy?
Oh, what access in the common law?
We got that.
So on the right-hand side of the website, click here to order the book. Let me tell you, this book here, people are selling, law books are going for $100 and more, some $200, $89, whatever. And this is a full-size book, maxed out on the paper, hardcover, and we're able to sell it for $39.95, so $40, which is a huge, huge difference than anybody selling any kind of a law book out there. So
we already bought that. We got that.
Yeah. All right, I got to go, so finish off with Gerard. I got to get out of here.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right.
Okay, get out of here.
Okay, I think, that's pretty much it, John, me and Gerard.
Okay, well, very
thank
good.
You. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, everybody. It was a good meeting. Enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week, same time.
Yes, good night.
Good night.